Okay, guys, that's me, designer, reviewer, publisher. I think my first review is, in fact, 1972, and they're still looking for the guy who published it. I've called this unprofessional wargaming, and that's why I've used Comic Sans font throughout, because you no one would ever do that. I think both hobby and professional games require involvement. We call it entertainment. I think you probably call it something like engagement, because you're analysing your training. All we've got to do is amuse people. Well, we've got to amuse them in a way that's historically based. Both produce narrative. And we're not going to look at narrative again for the rest of this talk, which is a pity, because it, to me, is the major feature of most wargaming. So the question is, can our hobby entertainment processes help deliver your professional engagement? I'm afraid I've limited this brief talk to published and available games. There are vast numbers of clever ideas, many of which you'll have seen in the game fair, which we can't cover. What hobby gaming used to be, well, it used to be predominantly Hex and Counter, played by very intense males, usually one-on-one, or setting up a vast game they never played. I think there's still a lot of Hex and Counter, but it's not what I call the new. And we pause to remember Fallen Friends. Get a look at that, eh? Look at the factors on that. I think this is Third World War. We've even got Karl Machstadt, which is something else now. All that, I'm afraid, it's the last time you'll see it, so off we go. The new. I started this by saying let's look at the bits and the bobs, because the new is highly visual. It likes to get you to learn what's going on by looking at the pieces as well as the numbers, the names and the information. This is a meeple. It shapes, tells us that it's supposed to be people, even though he has a pointy head, and I think that's Carcassonne, is it?
Yeah.
You're a trader or something. This is a lot of cubes. Now, I think you could tell it was a lot of cubes without me telling you that, but they're there for all sorts of reasons. They symbolise a different use or identity by shape or colour. And that's really important back in the days when we used to just have counters where you might have to get an awful lot of information that you couldn't see because there was another counter on top of it. The new, more meeple, more of these naughty meeples. Now, look over here, folks. Is this a naughty gorilla, or is it a friendly local? Well, we can tell it's a naughty gorilla because he's got an embossed star on his head. So, key point, if you're ever in having to deal with gorillas, look for the stars on their heads. If they're jihadis, they'll have a little moon. But as you can see, these are clearly different, these yins at the front, from the flat one at the back, which I think is a base. This comes from Andean Abyss, which is part of a series we'll be looking at later on. Now, these are what I call stickles. Stickles are great because they look like they've escaped from Kriegspiel. I mean, this is from W1830. Look, there's a grand battery. I can tell it's a grand battery. They look different from the lines, who are probably infantry. And here's the naughty Prussians sneaking round the side in order to steal victory from the Duke of Wellington. Once again, it's all about visual information. Now, this is the one bit of the new that I don't think is just about visual information. It's cards. Cards are everywhere. This is a card from one of the coin games. It's the Black Hawks. It's got a lot of information on it. I guess it's a form of pre-printed XCOM. I might be wrong in that. Except, of course, the XCOM is nearly always the same. Not quite, though. This bit occurs in one case and that bit occurs in another. But it means that the game can have all sorts of elements which weren't in the Hex and Counter game that we used to play with so much pleasure. Where are we getting the new from? Well, it's from Eurogaming, I'm afraid. Don't tell them, but it's true. As I say, it's a wonderful place to harvest good ideas. It's a huge market. It's a wonderful place to publish stuff as well. There's no nasty wars. but there is plenty of aggression. And it's bred a sort of game which I think most gamers would think is new, but people like Rex Brine have been doing this for a zillion years, the cooperative game, where the adversarial element is provided by the system. We're not fighting against the other gamers around the table. We're fighting against a disease or the hood, if we're playing the Thunderbirds game. And as I say, it's wargaming with added kumbaya. No one can possibly object to fighting a disease. Well, I don't think so anyway, maybe. And here we are, we've got two here. The top one is by Matt Leacock, who I think is a doyen of cooperative games, and it's Thunderbirds. A game about an island community with high-tech spec, fighting against constant enemies, and it's not Brexit this time. It has the advantage of being a good game, plus, of course, sucking in all those lads who watched it in the last 50 years and do amusing Parker impressions several times. This game is perhaps a lot more of the one at the bottom, a lot more of a standard game. It's by Pierre Azou, who's at the IRSEM, which the I must stand for Institute and the M for École Militaire. It's a subversion of war game norms. You can attack several times with the same counter, which, as you know, is anathema. You'd be pleased to know that you still can't transfer movement points from one segment to another. He's put his cards in that game. It uses areas rather than hexes. And he's written a very good book on the topic. So it's an interesting excursion under the new into territory that can look quite old. Now, we've got with us Brian Train today. He's paid me good money to put this feature up. I have a cheque born on the Bank of Toyland. He's really been a forerunner of the featured series we're going to deal with in a moment, publishing since 1995, nearly 50 games, and there he is. You've been able to play one of them with him tonight. And this is the series I want to deal with. Excuse me, I've got sciatic, so I have to move somewhere where I can sit, if that's all right. This is a mating of the new with old-style wargaming. And at once view, you might say, it's actually quite forced, but it's massively popular, so it really does better. Volker Runke is a CIA analyst. It's a multiplayer game. Now, that's quite rare, because standard games, hex and counter, were two, because you could only ever find one other person you didn't hate so much you wanted to beat them to death. This is four-player, but it can't be four-player because three-player inevitably causes one-on-two. But it can be played without any players. It has things it call bots, we call flowcharts, that would allow you to run some of the teams without a player to do them, which is very important. And here's the real factor, it earns a woe. It's played by non-traditional wargamers. Thousands of little buggers. I don't know where they come from. But they've been taking games that normally sell 3,000 and zipping it up to three times that much, which is big. It's the coin series. Highly asymmetrical, which is what Brian always works in. In the coin game, we've got a government player, the Colombians, two guerrilla movements, FARC and ORC. Now, ORC may well be, in fact, a government-controlled death squad, but as we always need four players, it's a guerrilla movement. And FARC, of course, is excellent because it gives us the chance to say the word FARC all over the place, which is very amusing for me. And the drug cartels. And as you can see, Netflix are paying me a considerable sum for this. And there's really no resemblance, other than the hunt for power, between the drug cartels and the government player. The drug cartels are refining and moving product. The government player is trying to stop people doing almost anything. These are some of the games in the coin series. By the way, coin is counterinsurgency reduced, so it probably should be coin, but we'll call it coin. We've had the Colombian insurgency, the Cuban Revolution, Afghanistan, that's the recent Afghanistan, the Gallic Revolt, with three goals in a Roman, because all Gaul is divided into three parts, as we remember. Vietnam, our fury in Britain, the American War of Independence, and even instilled in playtests, I look forward to this, the Indian Independence Movement. So one of you gets to play Gandhi. And Brian's two-player game on the Algerian War. And nearly all of those have got expansions. That's a hell of a lot of product for an industry that used to produce a lot of different stuff. We're dealing with asymmetry, and this is a forced asymmetry. You just don't get to play the counters differently by what you want to do. You're limited in how you can do it. Now, these are the basic activities from colonial twilight. And the French can train, garrison, sweep, and assault. Well, they'll be able to do other stuff, the special ones. The FLN, rally, march, attack, terror. They don't have any equivalent, really, of garrison and sweep, though some of the elements of it will be different. So we're being forced to play the side in the way that at least the designer believes is accurate, rather than everybody being the same and you're hoping to get him to do it by fiddling with factors. Here we are, we've got two coin series games here. Over here is Fire in the Lake, which is Vietnam. By the way, I think the interesting thing to note on this one, this is Problems of Obsessive Males, 5,438. Is there's too many pieces. If you look at the games we were having this afternoon, the games fair, they don't get that full. However, it looks to me like blue must be the Viet Cong. There's two naughty gorillas. That's the Iron Triangle, I would guess, which is full of naughty gorillas planning to go into Saigon, which has currently got the Arvin in it. And you can see that they've divided it up by cities, one of the locations. You see some mountains up there and some jungle. Similar sort of plan over on the A Distant Plain, I think it's called, the Afghanistan game. Once again, a shed load of markers in each area. But because of the asymmetry, those markers often can't interact with each other. Okay, coin has its absurdities. It normally has to have four players. So my game on the Nicene Creed, which has God Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, has had to have Keith, the guy from next door, added to get at the necessary four. However, it looks rightish. It does attempt the symmetry, which many games didn't. And what really interests me is it attempts not just blue and red teams, but green and white. And I suppose black, when you think of the drug cartels. And we even are getting a Gandhi non-violent faction, but we'll see what he looks like. But ludicity, excellent word that, folks, has its price. The cards are played in such a way that we can predict the immediate future perfectly, because as we know, that's the one thing we can do. And some of the sequencing and choices will be based on some non-real world concepts, and I certainly wouldn't advocate pushing the coin series as something with a serious operations analyst. So the summary is, these new techniques mean new gamers, which is perhaps not a great interest to you guys. Wargaming and peace gaming are in there, and a big, big seller, not in the coin series, is Twilight Struggle, about the Cold War. A cooperative style means there are new audiences. People aren't just trying to beat the crap out of each other. And I think it begins to look like a simpler version of professional wargaming. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is that.
Okay, thank you.